Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verses 7 through the first portion of the 10th verse, 7 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verses 7 through 10. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Our theme this morning, the call of Demas. Let us pray. Father, in our minds this morning, we can see the aging Apostle Paul penning these words to the young preacher Timothy, indicating the sad news that Demas, one of the disciples, one of the gospel band, had left the church, having loved this present world. Father, this morning, through the words that you have given us to share, will you confirm in our own hearts our determination to fight the fight, to run the course, and inherit that crown of righteousness which awaits all of those who hold out faithfully to the end. In thy name we pray. Amen. Demas was a part of the team. They counted on him. His experience of grace was apparently adequate enough to judge him worthy to be among those who traveled in the name of Jesus Christ and shared his good news. But the scripture tells us Demas suffered from an acute disease. It's called love of the world. It manifests itself by driving its victim to gain acceptance by the sin crowd. It convinces a man that it's easier to say yes than no, even when that yes may be a compromise with sin which leads to destruction. The call that came to Demas, this call of the world, still rings in our ears on the 27th day of January 1974. Demas calls to us, come, come. Join me in my lust and pleasure. I have given up my faith for fortune. I am no longer bound by the restrictions of religion. I am, in fact, in love with this present world, and I want you to join me. He joined the dissidents. He protested against the church. And though this day he is gone, his voice lives on and calls to us today, come join me in my love affair with this present world. And from time to time, all of us must answer the question of Demas. Why not throw it all over? Why not join Demas? Well, there are at least four reasons why I refuse to heed that call, and I want to share them with you this morning. First of all, I refuse to listen to the call of Demas because I believe that the Bible and experience teach that our faith is essential to the social stability of our nation. We're not talking this morning about a personal experience that just holds us in good stead. We are talking about the very fabric and fiber of the thread and cloth that holds our nation together. Our only hope is in the real Christians of this nation. You pull the Christians out of this country, or let them surrender to the call of Demas, and see what happens to the social stability of our nation. You see, Christianity, by its very nature, fosters stability. For Christianity offers men not frustration, but forgiveness. Christianity offers men not fear, but faith. And the reality experienced in our hearts of faith and forgiveness breeds stability of personality. You see, men need to be forgiven by God, not excused by psychologists. And if you this morning haven't been forgiven by God, then you're frustrated. Why? Because if you have not been forgiven by God for your sins, you're carrying guilt. And guilt breeds frustration. You have to deal with guilt. You can try to talk your guilt away, but rationalization will only temporarily relieve the frustration of your guilt. You can try to talk yourself into the legitimacy of smoking, the benefits of drinking, the value of the movies, or the dividends of immorality. No matter. Disobedience to God's revelation in your personal life produces guilt. You may hide it under the rug today. You may submerge it in a sea of phony excuses tomorrow, but it will only reemerge at some later date. Guilt for sin must be confessed and cleansed from your life, or you will carry it to your grave and beyond. You say this morning, Pastor, times are changing. We must adjust to this new day. Well, I believe in adjustment. I really do. I think some things can be changed. But if you're talking about adjustment, that's one thing. If you're talking about compromise with sin, that's another area altogether. Jesus never compromised to get a disciple. Jesus never compromised with sin to keep a disciple. when in doubt, don't. Keep on the safe side of the percentages. Whether or not we want to admit it this morning, it's not only our own souls at stake. Whether or not our nation survives will be determined in large measure by the stability of our faith and the consistency of our practice. And I, for one, do not want to let my Creator or my country down through compromise with sin. Anyway, why does it always have to be the church who is called upon to compromise with the world in order to get close enough to communicate? Why is the church always expected to lower some standard because a sin-chained world declares it objectionable? No, if our position socially and biblically is correct, let's quit apologizing for it. Our position is sound. Can you give me one good reason for breaking the rules that God has placed within His holy word for all of us to live by? I submit to you this morning my opinion that the only reason anyone would is simply because they are responding to the call of Demas, the call of the world to an easier way. There are those who call for lowering the standards of the church. How can we? They are consistent with the Word of God. If change is needed, let it be done according to the lawful provisions. All else is chaos. Demas, I don't have time to listen to your call. I'm too busy trying to be tied into the really vital issues of our day. The number one issue is that of communication. And I'm talking about individual communication with God. Friend, you get that vital issue resolved in your own life and you'll find everything else falling into place. Do you know how to get a hold of God in prayer? Do you know how to talk to Him and have Him communicate to your heart and soul and to lead you in the way everlasting? That's a vital issue. But another vital issue also relates to communication. It's communication of the cure for the Demas disease to a searching, seeking world. There are the issues I'm giving my life to. Number one, trying to have effective and adequate communication with God myself. I can't do you much good if I'm not getting through to God. And if He isn't giving me leadership and direction and keeping my soul blessed. And the second issue is to try to communicate the cure for the Demas disease to a hungry, searching world. And you know, I have yet to meet anyone suffering from the Demas disease who is caught up in fervent communication with Christ, who attends all the services, who tithes, who boosts the program. I've never had that kind of person argue about the rules of God's word for holy living. The Demas followers look for an easier way, while the true disciples prepare to take up their crosses, deny themselves, and follow Jesus anywhere. So busy following, there's no thought of forsaking. But Demas, I not only believe the Bible and experience teach that our faith is essential to the social stability of our nation. I refuse to heed your call because I also believe the gospel we preach brings man face to face with his destiny. I ask you this morning, can you face the reality of your destiny? Everybody has to find out where he's going in this life. Every man must determine where he will spend eternity. And the gospel brings man face to face with his destiny. It can't be explained away. Most of the time we dislike facing facts. We like to explain away the truth so we can ignore our destiny. But the gospel brings salvation into the limelight of every man's destiny. A minister was eating with a psychologist, having a nice lunch together. The psychologist said, "Reverend, don't you believe in counseling?" The minister said, "Yes, I believe in counseling. But it doesn't take the place of salvation. I too believe in the principle of counseling and practice it. But no amount of counseling will be ultimately effective unless it confronts man's most basic need, and that salvation. Destiny awaits us all. And we can join the Demas movement and say our church asks too much. Or we can join great social movements across the country and say our country asks too much. Or we can let the gospel of Jesus Christ bring us face to face with our real destiny, God's plan for our lives." I'm afraid part of the basic problem here is that of identification. With whom or what do you want to be identified? The simple truth boils down to the fact that a lot of people do not want to be identified with the people of God. They would rather be identified with the swingers or the smart set or the in crowd or the dissidents. How do you want to be identified? How do you want to be recognized? There are some who are recognized as gripers. All they know how to do is gripe. All they know how to do is complain. Everybody that knows them, they know that about them. This person, all they can do is gripe. There are others who are so negative that's the way they're recognized. Negative. They never have a positive thought. It's always negative. And most of the time, they're not disappointed. I knew it was going to rain. I knew it. Well, sure, it's going to rain. It's been raining for thousands of years. It's going to continue to rain. I know I was going to get sick. Of course you're going to get sick. All of us are going to get sick. People have been getting sick for years and years and years. Now, I knew they'd never make it. Of course they're not going to make it. All of us from time to time have failures and we're wrong. But has the situation been helped by being negative about it? No. No. So positive thoughts reap positive results. How do you want to be recognized? Maybe you would like to be identified as those early disciples who were recognized as having been with Jesus. There was something about the glow of their lives, the strength of their words, that branded them as followers of Christ. Wherever they went, things were always better. Oh. If we could get a hold of that this morning. Wherever they went, things were always better. When you leave a conversation, are the persons involved in the area, is it better for the contribution you have made? When you leave a group, is the group better because of the contribution you made? And when you leave your home in the morning, did you make it better? When you leave this church today, was it better because you were here and made a contribution in spirit to the work of the church? Wherever the disciples went, things were always better. They refused to hear or heed the call of Demas. They heard only God's call to a divine destiny. But Demas, there's another reason why I refuse to join your movement. It is this: God needs me. I believe, according to the Bible and experience, that God has worked through redeemed men and women to achieve divine design. God needs us. And God has called us all. And it'll take a lifetime to answer that call. There isn't time for anything else but to answer that call upon your life. Some have said God asks too much. But victory is not to the weak, but to the man who knows what God wants. Do you know what God wants from you this morning? God needs you to do a job. And the thing you must accomplish probably won't come easily. You say, yes, I know, I've tried, and I couldn't do it. Trouble is, too many quit too soon. For no man becomes strong until he does the unusual. Oh, in your walk with Christ, don't be satisfied with casual achievement. There's a phenomenal event taking place right now that we take so for granted it's unbelievable. There are three men in space. They've been there longer than anybody else in the history of the world. Nearly 70 days now, isn't it? They're in Skylab. Quite an achievement. And I'll tell you this, it was not achieved by surrender, but by commitment to the difficult in order to achieve a monumental goal. Victory doesn't come easily. God needs the best we have. He wants us to be a part of his divine design. And Demas has nothing. Nothing to offer that compares with that. Demas, there is yet one more reason I refuse to go your way and join your movement. It's because I believe that according to the scriptures and human experience, the world has little to offer and nothing to give. I believe authentic happiness can be found only within the plan and law of God. Basically, Demas, I want to be happy today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And there's only one way that's possible, and that is by completely yielding myself to the plan and law of God. I need God. I have no hesitation to admit that to you this morning. I need God. I can't get along without him. And I don't believe you can either. For when he's with me, I need have no fear. He just kind of brings it all together in one neat package. When you have him, you have it all. There's nothing to fear. A few days ago, I heard a father tell of a disaster that happened in the life of their family. They were out in the family yacht, out in the ocean. He, his wife, their five children, his mother and father, and I think he said a sister. 10 of them on this yacht. They were having a wonderful time. And of course had no idea that there was a structural weakness within that ship. When they ran into some rough waters, the waves just broke the yacht in half. They were all thrown into the water. They clung perilously to broken pieces of ship that tried to stay together. And without question, it was quite a harrowing experience. He told how they were in the water for 22 hours all through the night. The children, some of them rather small, trying to cling with exhausted fingers to the side of the broken ship. They would become so exhausted they would slip away. And they would go to them and assist them and try to bear them up. He was certain that through the night they would lose someone. But they didn't. 22 hours in the sea. And then they were rescued. They were all saved. 2 weeks later, the father asked his 10-year-old daughter. He said, "Honey, you know, we had the accident. Tell me something. Were you scared?" And he was absolutely shocked when she said, "No, Daddy, I wasn't scared." He said, "Oh, come on. You were scared." "No, Daddy, I wasn't scared." "Well, why not?" "Because, Daddy, you were there." And that's the way I feel when people ask me if I'm frightened over the great economic concerns that confront our world today. If I'm frightened over the political upheaval, not only in our own country, but in other countries of the free world. No, I'm not frightened. Concerned? Yes. Frightened? No. Why? Because God is here. And He has the divine ability to keep us in peace in the midst of all life's shipwrecks. And there are times when we're in the water, hanging on with our fingers, numb with cold, exhausted. We're about to let go. And then we remember the Father is there. And He slips to our side, lifts us up, helps us to get a firmer grip. And we're not afraid. Demas, you do not have anything that compares with that. Sorry, Demas. Count me out. I want to be happy. And that can only happen within the plan and law of God. Sin made a fool out of Demas. Don't let the devil make a fool out of you. Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Let's fall out of love with the world and in deeper love with Jesus Christ.